You're listening to The Mom Inspired Show, episode 384 with Kathy Batista.
Welcome to The Mom Inspired Show. I'm your host, Amber Sandberg, and this show is created to inspire, encourage, and add a little extra fun to your day.
Hello, everyone. I am super excited to have Kathy on the show today. We are going to be talking about midlife. And if you've been listening for a while, you know that I have such a passion for women in midlife. And we're going to be talking about the complexities of, you know, the midlife transition and, you know, why do we feel the way that we do as we approach midlife? And a lot of you might be thinking, what is midlife? So midlife is pretty much kind of late 30s to I think early 50s. So it's a big span. So if you're sitting here thinking I'm not in midlife, but you fall in that age range, you are in midlife and all the things that come with it. And I think during this phase of life, we really think about, are we doing the things that we really want to do in life? And so I'm super excited to be talking to Kathy about this. And I wanted to share this with you guys because for me, when I lost weight, I was in my early 40s. And so I kind of was like in this place where I'm like, all right, I'm not having any more kids. And, you know, it's like, can I actually get this weight off now that I'm in my early 40s? I think I was 41. And so I just felt like, it feels like, oh my gosh, everybody says like when you're in your 40s, it's so hard to lose weight. And so for me, I was like, I just don't know if I can do it. And so I feel like if you guys are struggling with this, right? Like you're in the season of life that you're like, I want to get this weight off for good. Like, I don't want to keep talking about it. I want to get it off before I get into menopause. Like, I just don't want to keep dealing with this. It's like, I'm done having kids. I'm ready to lose the baby weight. Like, I totally understand. Like, I get it. And I know how sad you can feel when you feel like you're never going to lose the weight. And then you have this fear that even if you do lose the weight, will you even keep it off? So I get it. And you might be good at losing the weight, but you've never kept it off. So you don't have that self-confidence. Like, can I actually do this? Especially in midlife. So, you know, if you are in perimenopause, exactly like what we are talking about in this episode, and your body is changing and your weight is changing and what you are used to doing is not working anymore and you're just panicking, I get it. Like, so maybe you're like, my weight's the same, yet my clothes don't fit, my body's changing, and my weight's the same. I get that as well. Like, how things just start morphing. It's kind of like after having kids, you may be the same weight that you were after having kids, but your body doesn't look the same. So I get it. Like, I get stepping on a scale and the numbers keep going up and you get this anxiety running through your body and you feel defeated. It's like hitting numbers you've never seen before. It's like your pants are not fitting like they used to. It's like you just feel so annoyed and you can't figure out what to do. You have no idea how you're going to turn this around. You're tired of feeling frantic and desperate and everything seems overwhelming. And you're just like, I don't want to keep thinking about this all the time. Like, I want to be able to enjoy my life. Well, friend, there is a better way. And let me teach you how to not feel frantic, how to break this all down, lose weight in a sustainable way. Like, I want to invite you guys to join me with my one-on-one coaching program where I will coach and teach you how to love yourself, even when you are not the weight you want to be or at the size that you want to be. And I will show you what you need to do, what I learned to do, how I learned to figure out how to lose 50 pounds and not make food such a huge thing in my life. And I still love food. Like, I still love eating. So don't get me wrong. Okay. I just don't get obsessed with it anymore. So come check it out. MomInspiredShow.com/coaching. When you sign up, you get a free session and you can ask all the questions. That way we can see if we are a good fit. I know this can be scary to do. So I got you and I will meet you there. So let's go to the show. Kathy, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm excited for you to be here too. Okay. So Kathy, I like to ask a question for every podcast. And the question is, it's an icebreaker. The question is, what would you tell your younger self? Like, what do you wish you could have told your younger self?
Oh, lots of things. But when I think about my younger self, I think I often confused intuition and gut feeling with fear.
Yeah.
And so I would let her know that whenever you had those, like, I want to do this, or that seems cool. And then you would have little bit of fear and resistance.
Mm. Yeah.
Like to kind of meet that with compassion and push through it. But I also think that's something you have to learn. But that's what I would tell her. I hope she would listen.
Oh my gosh. I love that. Yeah. I mean, do you feel like you were fearful when you were younger? Like, do you feel like you worried about a lot?
No, I was not fearful, but fearful in the sense of like I wanted to do acting and I was too afraid.
Or I
wanted to apply for this job and I was too afraid.
Okay.
Or I wanted to ask this boy out and I was too afraid. Like things and like that.
Yeah. So you're like, don't hold back. Like just go for it kind of thing.
Go for it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can totally understand that. Like, I like that. Okay. So Kathy, how about you tell us your whole name, where you're from and how many kids you have and their ages?
Sure. So my name is Kathy Batista and I live in Rhode Island.
Okay.
And my husband and I have four boys.
Yeah.
And they are ages 18, 20, 22, and 26.
Wow. I didn't realize you had four. That's a lot of boys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh. How is it being
a blended family?
What'd you say?
Yeah. We're a blended family.
Okay. Yes.
And so, but we've been together for like over 15 years.
Oh,
so they're all ours.
Oh my gosh. I love that. That's so cute. I love it. Okay. So Kathy, how about you share with us how you got to where you are today? And then we'll kind of dive more into questions, but just kind of like lay it out, like, you know, your story, your journey, and then we'll talk about your coaching.
Sure. So my coaching started with my journey and I can remember being about 36, 37 and feeling miserable, like absolutely miserable. I felt miserable in my body. I felt miserable in my mind. I felt like frustrated and agitated with like literally everybody. Mm. And then I paused and I had such shame and guilt because my life looked and really was pretty good, right?
Yeah.
I had my boys and my husband and we have a home and everybody's employed and nobody wants for nothing, right? Mm-hmm. And so why am I so miserable? Why am I like this? Everything just is horrible. And I was embarrassed by that. So I kept it in. I didn't share it, like not even with my sisters or my mom. It was just, I thought I was just miserable and irritated. And so instead of seeking some help and guidance, what I did was I did anything and everything to shove that hole up. I drank too much. I ate too much. I shopped like crazy. My husband would joke and it really wasn't funny, but he would joke and say the dining room was shipping and receiving because I always had something coming and going. Right.
Yeah.
But definitely the drinking is what got really out of control because it was the only way that I felt better for a little bit.
Yeah.
The only way. And, that is for one, like definitely scary. And for two, what's not snapped me out of it, but what made me pause is that I wasn't being the mom I wanted to be. I wasn't being the wife I wanted to be. It was just living this selfish, miserable experience because maybe drinking and eating and shopping gave me an escape, but I was still miserable. I was still acting miserable and I didn't know why.
Mm.
Yeah. And so kind of like everybody, I do think everybody gets to this point when they're sick and tired of being sick and tired and you do what you can. You find certain ways out of things. And so through therapy and different recovery and different doctors and support and finally speaking up and getting a coach, I was able to then realize I was in like the thick of it. Mm-hmm. I was going through emotional and mental and physical perimenopause and just natural midlife changes.
Yeah.
And so that is, I was working with my coach and lots of inner work comes into play here because oftentimes this is when that inner child is like, yeah, we're mad too.
Yeah.
All these things come out. Right.
Yeah.
And so I was working with my coach and I was like, oh my goodness, I could do this. I could help women navigate this point in their life so that nobody has to do it or fall to that level.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that's really what got me started in coaching. And, you know, it's been, I've been coaching now for over 4 years, but it was what, 13 years ago when I was 36. So math.
Yeah. Well, you know, so for me, like I was telling you before, I'm a certified life coach and I love helping women lose weight, and especially in that perimenopausal stage. And so having you come on, because I do think what happens is, and this is what I want to jump into with you, is talking about what I end up talking about with my clients and the things that I needed to figure out too, is why are we overeating? So for you, it might've been more drinking. I know you said overeating, and that does happen. People start drinking, they're doing something, right? And a lot of times it's like, what are you trying to get by doing those things? And a lot of times you realize you're not happy. And so you're drinking's easy, shopping's easy, overeating is easy. And so you're trying to numb it out. You're just trying to buffer. It's like you're trying to not feel those feelings. And so it's like, if we can try to figure out where is that all coming from, to figure out why. And so for me, with my clients, with the weight loss, it's like, let's figure out what do you want in life so that you're not just going to food. It's like, because right now you're just going to food and then it's causing you weight gain, which then is making you more upset and feeling bad about yourself, right? So I'm sure you kind of noticed that cycle. So for you, when you were over drinking, like, do you find that it was just like every night? Or, I mean, what was it for you that it started to get bad, that you're kind of like, okay, this is probably kind of a problem? What did that look like?
Yeah. I don't know if I ever got to like an every day. I'm sure I did every day drinker, but when I started to go, this is a problem, it was when it got early and earlier and earlier in the day.
Okay. Yeah.
So it was like, it was like, you know, the kids were going to get off the bus at 3:30 and I was like, yeah, we need a little something to get through time of the day. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or this just, it, everything seemed like I was dreading it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that, so it was that going, okay, I'm not showing up the way I want to.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, like, honestly, and I hear this from a lot of women, is this time of our lives, your drinking and the hangovers are so much worse.
Oh, right.
So it might not even have been the extent of the drinking, but then it's that compound effect of the feeling the next day. Now you're just sick and miserable. And so it definitely was trying to keep your head above water. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, when I would overeat, it was eating for comfort, but it just became uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It was. Right. And so the drinking no longer became relaxing and why people drink. Right. Mm-hmm. Or the shopping was never just that excitement anymore. It loses its effectiveness.
Yeah. So we were talking about this, and I've done episodes with doctors on perimenopause and how that can start in the late 30s, which I think some people would be completely shocked to know that. And that there's so many symptoms with perimenopause. You and I were saying that. And so, I think people can just think they're losing it. Like, they feel crazy or like, why do they feel sad, or why do they have anxiety, or why are they having physical symptoms that are not, like, I've heard that, like, your ears can itch in perimenopause, like weird things, right? That, like, why would you think that's perimenopause? Like, we really have only talked about, hot flashes and, you know, the sleeping, like maybe you can fall asleep, but then you wake up at a certain time, all of these things that people don't know. And so, you know, when you're pregnant, you kind of are prepared that you're like, even though you don't know exactly what's going to happen, cause everybody's different, but you know, stuff is going to happen. Where perimenopause, you don't really, you're just, cause you don't know when it's going to happen too. It's like, it could happen when you're 37. It could happen when you're 47. Who knows, right?
But the thing is that if you know that it can happen,
gives
you like, okay, maybe this is what's going on, because we have like hormones run the whole body.
Yes.
And we have estrogen receptors all over. Mm-hmm. And as soon as that starts to decline, that's why we have all these symptoms that are like, what? Yeah. Right. Like so bizarre.
I know.
And so it's almost just like knowing that it could happen.
Yeah.
I related a lot to like when we were in middle school, like not everyone got their period at the same time, but you knew it was going to happen sometime around there, right?
And it starts showing up a little bit like how you are, without the bleeding.
Right, and exactly. Yeah. So that it's very similar to that. Mm-hmm. It's very similar. Like I'm postmenopausal now. Mm-hmm. That's I had perimenopause so early and I didn't even know.
Oh.
I'm 50 and I've been out 2 years now.
Oh, wow. So, okay.
And
so let me.
Nothing the matter with me.
So let me just like say that to everybody. So you had your last period when you were 48. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I think this is going to rock some people's world, right? Like, and so, and for people to understand, if they're not familiar with it, with menopause is the last, like a year after your last day that you had your period. Your cycle. And then in your postmenopause, it's like, menopause is like 5 seconds. It's either perimenopause or post. People do not understand that. So, I mean, this is the problem that people don't understand that because the doctors haven't been taught this more and more doctors are getting involved realizing we need to be taught these things. Otherwise we really don't even know what we're saying. And so I always say this to myself, I'm like, how do I know more about perimenopause than a lot of people? Like that's a problem because I'm not even an expert.
No, I don't think it's a problem. I think because women need coaches like us to be like, it's okay. Right.
I know.
And that's the thing is when I told you that I'm postmenopausal now, right? So I always preface it by, there's nothing wrong.
No.
Because everybody's like, oh, you went into early menopause. No, I didn't. That's
you're
just
like,
my
that's
body.
Just your age. Kind of like you're saying, did you start your period early? I mean, I guess people could say that, but some do start earlier and some start later. Yeah. Now, let me ask you, did you start your period early?
I don't think not early, like,
not like nine.
Early, like,
no, like 11, 12.
Grade.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Okay. Because sometimes people say that if you start early, you go into menopause early. But that case, your case, that isn't the case because
I
would say that's
so
like the average.
There's
so much
to it.
I know.
Yeah.
So much.
There's so much.
Yeah. So just think about it. Like if you went into menopause at 48, then I would imagine 45, 46, 47 could have been really hard for you if you weren't paying attention.
perimenopause can be up to 15 years.
Oh, right. That's what I'm saying. But for you, like, I think people do not think that it can, like, that they will go into menopause before 50. So it's kind of like, if you almost knew when your day would come, you probably could then be like, it's kind of like PMS, right? Like, I kind of like to know, like, okay, these days are probably not going to be the best days for me to be like, let's go do really hard things and let me just go talk to lots of people. No, I know for me, I'm like, let's not overschedule myself. I probably am not going to want to cook because I'm not going to feel great. But it helps because I know that that's coming. And I know for me that I don't feel amazing. I don't want to talk to people as much. I kind of get sensitive, right? And so, but if you didn't know that, every month you'd be shocked. Like, why am I so ticked off? Like, why am I crying? Like, what's happening, right? And so I think the thing is, even though people don't know when they're going to hit menopause, I think it's good to know that, like, if things start feeling wonky, to go. So I always talk about seeing a functional doctor. So for you, you're like, okay, I'm tired of being tired. Something's wrong. What did you do? Like, what were the steps that you're like, okay, I need to figure out what's happening to me. Did you go see a doctor? Like, what did you do besides the coaching? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So for me, it was more like what's wrong.
Mm.
And so I said, what is going on? And for me at that time, what my major problem was the drinking.
Okay.
So I sought help for that. Mm.
And what did that look like, Kathy? Because if somebody is resonating with you and they're like, they want to keep making the drinking earlier, or they're adding more and more drinks, like, what would you want to say to those people that like helped you go, I need to figure this out and what that actually looked like?
Yeah. So feeling that your drinking is a problem has nothing to do with quantity or the time that you do, whatever. It's just that desire that you don't want to be doing something that you're doing. That's addiction.
Okay.
You're doing something you don't want to be doing.
Sure. Okay.
And wanting to stop and feeling like you can't, right? Yeah. And so I tried for a good amount of time to stop on my own. And that, I mean, not even asking for help with anything. Mm. And that really I wouldn't suggest that route. Yeah. I think you got to find help. Mm-hmm. And so I only knew of Alcoholics Anonymous. Sure. That mm-hmm. was all I knew yeah. of. And so I did go to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I would, to not sound dramatic, mm-hmm. but I would say that I feel like it saved my life. It did help me to stop drinking. I no longer am a member of AA, yeah, sure. although I 100% support it, believe in it. Through my own journey, I don't want to have this identity that something is wrong with me and will always be wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And now my view of it was I was just having these coping mechanisms yeah. and that were no longer serving me.
Yeah.
Do I drink today? No, because there's no purpose for me to, sure. because yeah. I'm not trying to escape anything I don't find it
yeah.
relaxing anymore yeah. mm-hmm. or even sociable really.
Yeah.
But Alcoholics Anonymous is amazing. And if you're looking for a way to like a lifeline, right? Yeah. But there's also, I didn't know this, there's so many other types of recovery programs too.
Okay.
And yeah. I had no idea.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think that it's speaking up and getting vocal and saying, you know, you don't have to say I'm an alcoholic. It's I'm having a problem with yeah. this. Mm-hmm. I'm not happy with my behavior.
Yeah.
And I can see it's affecting other areas in my life.
Yeah.
And that's where it's I don't like the undertone of claiming that.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's good for people to know because they may struggle with that. They're like, I don't want to be labeled that, but, and so then they don't go for treatment yeah. or something like that. Yeah. So once you got rid of alcohol, did that really kind of change a lot of things? And then you realized what still was left or like, what did that look like for you?
Totally. So when it's almost like you, walk into the house with sunglasses on. Mm. Mm-hmm. And then you take them off and you can kind of see better, right? Mm. So then I started to be able to go, all right, I see my periods are out of control. Mm. Oh, I'm noticing that, like what you were saying, noticing your cycles a little bit more, right? Yeah. So now I'm through changing your behavior, you can only then want to grow more and learn more about yourself. Mm-hmm. And so that's where it was like, all right, let's see what's going on hormonally, mm-hmm. right? And let's see what's going on mentally. I mean, we live in these bodies that are energetic mm-hmm. and they work together and they all have their own little language mm-hmm. and we have to learn it, right? Yeah. Like our brain speaks the language, our heart speaks the language. And so once I was clear, mm-hmm. once I could see straight, I was able to see really then. It's almost like triage, but mm-hmm. right? Like I needed to stop that behavior because it was not serving me or anybody else.
Yeah.
And then I could see, okay, what's next? It was definitely, I think definitely more mental work than physical because that's where I find perimenopause hits a lot of people is that mental emotional aspect of it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So let's talk about this too. We mentioned this earlier about like in midlife, women start to feel unsettled. It's kind of like the questions come up. Is this it? We talked about this with you that women probably feel this, like, why am I not feeling happy? I have a good life. And then you feel shame and guilt about not being happy. And you're trying to figure out like where you want to go with the rest of your life, right? Like you're in your 40s most likely. And then you're like, is this the path that I want to stay on? And you know, you may be finding that you're bored. I don't know. Like you're kind of like, where's the zest in life? Like, and that could be a combination between mentally and your hormones being off that you're kind of just like, I don't know. And then, it's like you lost your spark. You know, I think a lot of women say that it's just like, Where did my spark go? Like what happened? And so for you, what do you want to tell the listener, especially even your story, but like your, you know, your clients that you work with, like when they're kind of coming to you and saying, is this it? Like, is this what life's about? Like, cause I kind of don't feel happy and yeah. I'm just not trying to blow up my whole life. Cause that does exactly. happen too, right? People are like, blow it up because they're so just like, I don't like this. So what would you say that, you know, you would recommend to women that are kind of feeling this and they're just like, I don't even know why I feel this.
And it's actually very, very common. And mm-hmm. that's why I coach, is because I want it to be kind of a level playing field, yeah. right? Like we're all worthy of feeling good. Mm-hmm. And so yeah. we shouldn't have to trudge through days like that yeah. where we're just bored. And
yeah.
And so I think it's actually twofold, in that midlife comes when perimenopause comes. It's mm-hmm. like this perfect storm, right? And so what happens in midlife is we've gone through a lot of transitions mm-hmm. up until that point. But yeah. we've had support. We've had our parents. We've had yeah. coaches. We've had teachers. We've had friends. And now all of a sudden, we are at the top and we've got families mm. and our spouses and our jobs, and we're juggling everything. And nobody is saying, hey, I see you're on the cusp, right? Or like, you know, like you're about to graduate high school. What do you want to do? How can right. I help you fill out these forms? Or, oh, you're getting married. Let me help you now. Mm-hmm. Or even like, yeah, you're having a baby. Yeah. Everyone's really excited for 6 months yeah. and then they go away.
Yeah.
So when you are at this transitional point, it can feel really lonely. And yes. especially then when we don't reach out. And so that's why communities or finding therapy or coaching or support system, right, is so beneficial, because a lot of these feelings first can be kind of addressed and maybe dissipate a little just with the knowledge of you are where you are yeah. and that's exactly where you're supposed to be. You are about 35, 40, 45, yeah. you're in a transitional period. And nobody questioned us mm-hmm. when we were in high school and, you know, we got our license, but we didn't really want to roller skate anymore. They kind yeah. of were like, okay, that's normal.
Yeah.
So when you're 35, 40, 45, and the same things that you used to do aren't lighting you up, people are like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. yeah. Right.
But where we should be like, I shouldn't want to do the same things at 45 that I was doing at 35. Mm. Right.
Yeah.
Like I should. Reevaluation is so underrated, right? Yeah. Like we need to do that. We yeah. need to take stock and reevaluate, because what I find is often there's some values that aren't being expressed mm-hmm. or they're not coming into your life. Yeah. And those are really easy to find. Mm. And really easy to identify, I should say,
sure.
what's yeah. missing, right? Mm-hmm. And then we can work on ways to bring that in.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, do you know that I lost over 50 pounds in 2019 and have kept it off? And in 2021, I became a certified life coach so that I could help moms lose weight for the last time. But I do know that sometimes thinking about coaching can be overwhelming. And so what I did for people who want to take that baby step is created a podcast roadmap. This roadmap will take you step by step through the top 10 best and most effective weight loss podcast episodes I have done. So if this is interesting to you, you can go to mominspiredshow.com/podcast-roadmap-opt-in/. If this was too long to remember, go to my show notes, mominspiredshow.com, and go to this episode and you will see that link and you can click it. Or you can go to anywhere that you listen to the podcast and it will be in the show notes. Just go ahead and click it and it will take you right there. But this is a great tool to get going and just get your feet wet in regards to figuring out how you can start to lose weight and lose it for the last time. So for you, what did that look like? You did the drinking and then you were seeing a coach, right? Like, and then I guess like, what did that process look like for you when you're kind of unraveling it? Like when it came down to it, what was it that you were really like, this is why I'm not happy. Like, this is why I went to drinking. Like, what was it that you were kind of were running away from?
Yeah. So I think by the time I stopped, why I started and why I continued were probably two different things. I mean, life changes so much during that time.
Yeah, yeah.
But at first, like, I was bored.
Mm-hmm.
I was lonely.
Yeah.
I was, I love my children. I think if this is a mom podcast, yes, we can all say it.
Yeah.
But I was fucking sick of doing it. Yeah. I was so sick of doing it.
Yeah.
And so every day, the way I describe it is every day felt like I woke up, got on one of those conveyor belts in the airport and just went by and then got up and did it again. Right. And I was just done. I was just done. And instead of going, how can I fill my needs? How can I, you know, love Kathy? How can I bring some joy into my life?
Yeah.
Not where do the kids want to go on vacation?
Yeah.
I'm sick of Disney.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do I want to do?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So asking those questions, like what's missing? Where do you want to bring some movement, some joy into your life?
Yeah. I do think that, like, I think we, in that stage, you really are kind of like trying to do things for the kids and then you kind of forget about yourself. Right. And you're kind of like,
totally.
Oh man. And, so do you feel like, so you would have been, did you say you've been married for 15 years? How long have you been married to your
So I was married when this was going on. Yeah.
So newer, were you newer, newly married?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's okay. So we got married in 12.
Okay.
And, I stopped drinking in 2017.
Okay. Well, so why I say this too, because I think a lot of times people could be in long marriages and then they're feeling lonely and they're just like, oh, there's no spark. But what I wanted to bring up is that you were feeling this too, but you were in a newer marriage and wouldn't have the same problems of a long marriage that you're like, oh, I'm so bored. Because I think a lot of times people can be like, I'm bored because it's like the same old, and like we've been married for 500 years. But like for you, so somebody listening that is either newly married, they could be divorced, not married, whatever, that they could still be feeling this and still feel lonely.
Totally.
Even not in a long-term marriage or being by yourself. Because I think people don't think that people who are in relationships are lonely.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, no, there's a study out of UCLA that 76% of midlife women, now remember, midlife is 35 to 70, 76% of us are reporting we're lonely. And that can either be mentally lonely or physically lonely, right? So mentally lonely is you're standing in a room full of people, but you still feel unheard lonely. And alone, right?
Yeah.
And physically, we can feel lonely.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, oftentimes people who are divorced single moms, that's a really lonely place.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I was there too.
Yeah.
I know that, right?
Yes, yes.
So if you think, I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot. That's too much. That's too much.
Yeah. Let's speak to that really quick. So you have, and because you've lived both of these lives, you've lived a single divorce, single mother divorce life. Okay. And then you've also lived a remarried with kids life and you felt lonely. What would you want to say to those two different women that are like, well, of course I'm alone. I'm lonely. I'm divorced. I'm single. I'm doing everything by myself, it feels like. So that's a different lonely, like what we're talking about. And then you have, oh, I thought I was starting this new life and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, why am I not happy? You know, so if you could speak to those two, because I'm sure a lot of people fall into that and that would probably kind of help them a little bit.
Yeah. I think they're more the same than we think.
Mm.
I think at the bottom line of it is loneliness is loneliness.
Yeah.
And if you're feeling it and you're living it,
you can't get away
like,
from it.
There's no like deciding factors of it. You're just living it.
Okay.
There's no like precursors to it. So I would say that it really comes down to finding a kernel, right? Like finding one little thing that is going to bring some movement. And and this is where a lot of times we're feeling this way.
Mm-hmm.
We're feeling lonely. We're feeling depressed. We're feeling overwhelmed, right? But a lot of it, I don't got time to do this. I don't have time to focus on myself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, literally like a minute a day is going to do it. It's going to reprogram your neural pathways into eventually going, I can do this and I want it and I need it.
Yeah.
The biggest thing, and I sure people can do it on their own. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't do it alone.
Yeah.
And the people that come to me come to me because they need help. Yes. And I'm sure the people who come to you come to you because they want help.
Yeah.
And that's one of those first steps is saying that acknowledgement. I'm unhappy.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but I want some help.
Well, that's the thing that I always say to my clients. It's like by you doing the coaching, it's giving you permission to just focus on yourself. You don't have to try to be a friend to me because I mean, how many times are we having to be like, oh, did I ask you enough questions? Like, am I there enough for you? Like as friends, right? Like, are you showing up for them? This is a time that you can be completely selfish and it's okay. This is for you. And as moms, I don't feel like we get enough of that. It's always like, oh gosh, I got to give to you. And like, I don't want to come off selfish and you know, I got to take care of everybody. And so it's just, it's a great way to really take care of yourself. So I agree. And do you feel like you also built more friendships during that time? Like as well, like with the community or like, what did that look like for you?
I made new friendships and I reevaluated because a lot of times, you know, there's that old saying, you're the sum of the five people you spend time with.
Yeah.
And so I had some, I had five friends that loved to drink with me.
That's, that right? would be, that's I mean, the same that, with food too. Like if people always want to go out and eat.
And so I think that everything changes when you're, when you, you know, when you start to see flowers, you see flowers everywhere.
Yeah.
When you start to see the bird shit, you see it everywhere. Yeah. Right. So it really, when your vision and your focus change.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about what you were saying about people feeling it's selfish to seek this guidance, to seek any help, to seek.
Or to pay maybe, to pay and take the time. Yeah.
To pay and take the time.
Yeah.
But what I always am floored with is the ripple effect.
Oh, yeah.
And that is where it's like, we think we're being selfish, but the mom I am today and the wife I am today, the friend I am today is so much better because I've made myself better.
Yeah, I agree. I totally understand. And I think truly people who have gone through coaching, therapy, counseling, whatever, can truly understand that. Like, I think it is hard for people on the other side to grasp that. But that you will show up better. Like I've had, you know, by me being a coach and having to go through coach training and then, and being in coaching programs and having counseling and all that, like I've had people say to me, oh, I can tell you've changed. Like you have done the work, right? Like you show up differently, not to say that you're going to be perfect, but which then my kids, especially me having daughters, see that like, you know, so they get that mother where I could be like, I'm not going to pay for this or do this. And then be like, so I'm not being selfish. But then like you're saying, I'm miserable the whole time and biting everyone's head off. So like what, I mean, how is that good? Right. So I wanted to ask this, since you have this understanding, and I want to try to, I always try to grab like women's attention, especially if I don't have this personal experience for the women that are like, okay, but what about me? And so the women who are lonely and they're struggling during this phase and they are single and they think if I just find that person, things are going to change. You know, that like things will be good. I'll have a man. I'm like be in love again, you know? So, you know, you were going during this phase. This is why I'm asking, right? Cause you know, people are listening, thinking, oh, if I can just get married again, right? Like if I can just find that guy, I'll be happy. So,
Or if I can find that job, I'll be, you could replace anything. It with anything.
So what would you say to that? Because I do think people believe that they don't, I think they don't realize that they have it within them already. They're looking for the other thing, right? Even with weight loss. One thing that I really work on with people is like, let's get you loving your life where you are now. So by the time you get there, you're already like have the life you wanted because we don't get there. And all of a sudden we are like rainbows, you know, and unicorns. Like, I mean, it's just, I think people think that, that that's what it's going to give you. And so, what would you want to tell those people that are kind of like okay, but if I can get to this thing, whatever that be, a new marriage, a new job, yeah, then I won't struggle with any of this.
Yeah. So, one of the things I have a 3-pillar approach to my coaching, and mm-hmm, one of the pillars is mindfulness. I'm mm-hmm, master mindfulness practitioner. Mm. So what I would say to them is the words of John Kabat-Zinn,
okay,
wherever you go, yeah, mm-hmm, there you are.
Yes.
Like wherever you go, there you are.
Yeah.
So when you meet this new guy, you're taking yourself with you.
Yeah.
It's not like you become somebody else.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's wherever you go, there you are.
Yeah. I like that. I noticed that too on vacations, right? Like you think vacations are going to be like so amazing. You still are bringing all the people that are at the house all the time with you and arguing or whatever, right? Like it's like all of a sudden you didn't just get new personalities going to wherever.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's all ultimately, I love to frame it like, who do you want to be? Mm-hmm. And that's your identity.
Yeah.
And your identity, now we reverse engineer it, mm-hmm, because your identity is just what you do every day.
Yeah.
So now we have to find a way for you to incorporate that in little micro ways, right?
Yeah.
Because it's just your habits. What you do every day is who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. I love this. My girls, I've worked out my whole life, but I lost over 50 pounds in 2019, got back into working out, and now I work out at home. And my girls just think it's so normal for me to work out that they were saying something to someone. They're like, oh, we don't have a dining room where the dining room goes. That's where the gym is. And then this grandma was asking my girls, I wasn't there, about, oh, who works out? They're like, oh, my mom. It's my mom who works out in the gym like all the time. And I love that. Like I love that they say, and my 9-year-old, she loves for me to carry her around. And I'm like, I tell her, I'm like, I don't say that I work out to be thin. I don't say that I work out because I ate too much. I never say that. I said, I have to be strong because I'm like, you want me to carry you around. I'm like, do you know, like, that's not easy for me just to be carrying you around. And so me doing weights, doing all that. And so like you're saying, it's like all those habits, who do you want to be? That's something that I work with my clients. Their future version, like what does your future version of yourself need you to do, start doing today to start showing up so that they can be thankful that you're like, oh, I'm so glad you started that journey. Kathy, I could keep talking to you about all of this because this is truly a passion of mine. And, but we do have to end. Is there anything else that we wanted to add that we might've missed or anything you wanted to add?
I would love to add that I have a YouTube channel called Teachings and Tangents, and it is so fun. I have the best time doing it. So head over there.
Yeah.
And then a membership that we're having the best time in called the Learning Circle.
I love that. And I'll put that all in the show notes too. So in case people are driving or doing something, they can't go back to it. Anyway, Kathy, it was so great having you on today. I love talking with you.
Thank you. This has been amazing.
Hey friends, thank you so much for listening to the podcast this week. If this podcast means something to you, it would mean so much to me if you'd be willing to take 30 seconds to do 3 things. Follow or subscribe to the Mom Inspired Show. This means that you will never miss an episode. It also helps me to keep bringing you relevant content and more amazing guests because these are the numbers that they look at when deciding to come on certain podcasts. Also, if you have the time, I would love if you would leave a 5-star podcast review and share the show with your friends. You can do this wherever you listen to the podcast. Till next time, bye-bye.